Hi, everybody, and welcome to the live webinar, The Power of Mobile, the Ultimate Connector, sponsored by Raise Mobile and powered by Fundraising Success. I'm Peggy Hatch, Group Publisher at Fundraising Success, and I am very pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or you can let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelist, and we'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time during the presentation. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please check on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Now, our speaker today is Dale Knoop, founder and CEO of Raise Mobile. Dale is an industry-recognized pioneer in the mobile data services industry. In 2003, he launched MobiTV and in less than 1 year built it into the 10th largest cable operator in the United States. And in 2005, Dale won an Emmy for his work as general manager for Sprint TV, the first carrier-branded mobile TV live service. In addition, Dale holds several patents involving mobile data services. So you're with a real mobile pro today. And now, without further ado, Dale, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thanks, Peggy. I'd like to say thanks to everybody that's joined us today on the call. I hope it's informative. And at the end of the presentation, I encourage you to ask questions. We love answering questions and helping nonprofits think about going mobile. We'll begin by talking about the industry status. I'm sure you guys all watch what's going on in the mobile world. We certainly do. So this simple slide describes what we live in today, our brand new world. Many people say that today's world, the people that are born into it, are mobile when they are born. Paul Jacobs, the CEO of Qualcomm, said as much earlier this year as a keynote speaker at the Consumer Electronics Show. And indeed, we've got another quote here. A generation is coming, some would say that they're already here, where smartphones and tablets are all they ever know. So that presents a unique opportunity to live at the intersection of both mobile and social. And in this intersection, you will find millennials, minorities, urbanites, Generation X, and amazingly, you still find the occasional elderly white male or other ethnicity male. We're finding on our own results that it doesn't really matter how old somebody is as long as they've got a smartphone and the intention to give, that they will give. This is also important to recognize that social media today is predominantly consumed on mobile phones. Facebook itself has said it's a mobile company. Tweets on Twitter are 140 characters by design because those are the ideal size to be rendered on a mobile phone and consumed on a mobile phone. So our new world today is a combination of mobile and social, and we believe that great success in fundraising and donor engagement can be found at the intersection of those. These figures speak for themselves. 6 billion mobile subscribers worldwide, 331 million in the United States. We've got multiple devices per person. In some cases, you've got a laptop or an iPad, a tablet device that's got a mobile connection as well as a mobile phone. Certainly, we know people that have multiple mobile phones for different purposes, work and personal. But mobile is here to stay, and it's become the chosen internet connection device. In the U.S., within the mobile phone population, you've got 57% of them that are carrying smartphones. This number is skyrocketing, and for the first year, the mobile carriers are reporting that they're going to sell more smartphones than feature phones. Feature phones are the older phones without touch screens, typically without any sort of QWERTY keyboard on it. So this trend continues unabated, and it will continue for quite some time into the rest of this decade. When we look at mobile internet access, or internet access, mobile phones are set to surpass PCs later next year. And this is important because, as many of you have probably seen, looking at PC sites on a mobile phone can be a very frustrating experience. The people over at CompuWare have reported that if somebody has to wait longer than 5 seconds for your mobile page to, or for your PC page to download, they'll stop and they'll go elsewhere and they'll perhaps never come back. Going back to social media, it's really important to have a mobile optimized presence that you're distributing, should you distribute any sort of URL from your Facebook or Twitter presence, because people are going to be consuming that content on their mobile phone. Once this trend continues, I would assume that the white line representing the desktop users is going to decrease, and the number of mobile internet users will actually pick up in pace as more people get data plans and adopt use of the internet through their mobile phone. This is one of my favorite pictures, one of my favorite slides. So up above you have the 2005 introduction of Pope Benedict, and I think I see one cell phone in the audience. In 2013, it looks like a Christmas tree laid across the audience that's there. Everybody has a mobile device with them. This is the world that we live in right now. Access to everyone means communicating effectively and meaningfully through their mobile phone and their mobile device. The MCON 2012 giving report that was released last year suggests that people would rather give through a mobile website, but it has to be easy for them to give in the moment. It's vitally important that when they are in that moment, that they are not spending a great deal of time looking around and trying to find what they're after. I found this out when I was doing TV at Sprint, that people will give you about a minute to get something done. We as a society, because of mobile phones perhaps, have become sort of a society of attention deficit disorder. We like things that are snack-sized. So when a millennial is in the moment and feels like giving, it's best to just let them get on with their process and go ahead and do that. They don't like using text to give, as you see the quote represented here, because in many cases, the carrier will put an equal charge on the bill in cases of non-disasters. So the Red Cross donations that are going on right now for Moore, Oklahoma, the carriers are not taking their charge. But if your cause is to provide kids with sneakers, perhaps, they're going to charge you an equal charge on the bill. And we've got indications from some of the nonprofits that we've spoken to that the ones that use this are seeing only 3% of the people that actually put that charge on their bill actually go ahead and give. So as you think about the ubiquity of giving across mobile phones, millennials are saying, if you let me do it in the moment, I'm going to do that, and that would be the preferred way I would do it. This is from the Pew Internet Report on giving to the Haiti disaster, if you all recall the tragic earthquake in Haiti that they're still dealing with right now. The Pew Internet folks went back and interviewed 500,000 people that had given through text to give, and as you see, giving through a text message and giving through an online form are almost in a dead heat in appeal. Things like texting to pledge or making a phone call score low on the appeal factor. So when we built Raise Mobile, we took this into consideration and said, why have your donation limited at $10 and wait 6 months potentially for the money to show up when you can let a donor give in the moment and have them give as much as they want, and you'd be able to receive the money right away instead of waiting for it. So at this point, I always like to say, we've talked about the ubiquity so far of mobile, and then we've talked about the importance of having something that's mobile friendly when a donor is in the moment. So what you see here is a Raise Mobile donation page, and these aren't size adjusted images. These are literally the way they look side by side. And the image on the right is brand X. And if you showed this to 10 people, I'm sure that they would say, I choose the form on the left because it's easy to see and easy to navigate, and I won't spend time pinching and swiping to try to figure out what I'm looking for and what I have to fill out. From our perspective, in this day and age, in order to meet the mobile generation and everybody that's going mobile, no matter if they're a boomer or a millennial or somebody that's even younger, nonprofits need tech that solves real problems. We've met with countless nonprofits here in our area and across the nation that have said that their donor base is aging rapidly and they're fearful of what happens with direct mail as an acquisition method and as a fundraising method. The acquisition is very expensive. Direct mail open rates, I think that number is probably being kind. One of the things that we offer on our platform is text messaging, so people can opt in to receive messages from you, and text message open rates, once somebody said they want to receive messages from you, exceed 95%. Donor retention rates are low. I read something recently where there's a large nonprofit here in the United States that was seeing significant reductions in the number of people that were in their roster as ongoing donors. It's very, very important to focus on reaching the donor where they live and looking at maximizing the loyalty and maximizing the lifetime value of the donor. Fundraising is difficult and expensive. The average cost across all tactics to raise $1 is 20 cents. The beauty of what's going on right now with digital reimagining spaces and mobile reimagining different aspects of our lives is that the cost curve can be bent down and the ROI curve can be bent up. And that's something that we focused on with our solution as well. New online fundraising methods have missed the mark as far as mobility goes and the social interaction revolution. There are many crowdfunding platforms out there that operate solely in the PC space, and their mobility elements are completely missing. And the thing that's frustrated us about looking at those solutions as it pertains to helping nonprofits with tech that solves real problems is the fact that once somebody gives through one of those platforms, the platform then comes back and says, well, if you like giving to the kids that need sneakers, maybe you'll like to give to the kittens that need food. And you end up not really establishing a relationship with the cause. You end up establishing a relationship with the service, and they can begin to market different causes to your supporters after they've given to the campaign. Text to Give, we run into this quite a bit when people think about mobile fundraising. They think of Text to Give. The sad situation with Text to Give is, aside from disasters, it's hardly a good solution. The biggest downside to it is the fact that you're going to wait up to 6 months to receive your money. You're going to not know who the donor is. You don't get any information about who they are, so establishing a connection with them is completely missing. Their donations are limited to $10 a time. The fulfillment rates, again, the number of people that actually pay that portion of their cell phone bill, I know this from working at Sprint, is a low single-digit number, below 5. So it's a very expensive and time-consuming product to use that when the efficacy is revealed, it turns out to be not very effective at all. So in today's world of mobile, it's important to have real technology that solves real problems. From our perspective, we looked at how could a solution work. We combined our heads together, knowing what we know about mobile data services, and we said it's going to be a big-time focus for us to create a social, local, and mobile platform for the do-it-yourself creation of a content-rich, branded mobile website that you could use to share with supporters anytime, anywhere, for any purpose. Sharing a success story, saying thank you, having your supporters take a poll, reading news stories, checking a calendar of events, and many more things are what we wanted to put into a solution. We wanted to make it very, very easy to use. It's something that today's platforms focus on ease of use and sort of a decontenting, if you will, of what they offer, so that the site is very slick and easy to understand and easy to use. Reach the huge, growing, diverse population that communicates and connects sometimes solely through mobile phones. Certainly there are demographic groups whose only broadband connection is their mobile phones, and that combination with social media is ever present and ever important. Our platform supplements existing fundraising channels, so we wanted something that when we built it would not require you to operate it in a vacuum, and instead Raise Mobile, any mobile channel that we offer, integrates seamlessly into both online and offline channels in a very, very easy and effective way. So if there's something that you're doing today from an engagement perspective, whether it's direct mail, live events, golf outings, car washes, bake sales, online, Twitter, social, everything, including mobile advertising will increasingly become more important. There's something that can be integrated into all those channels. For organizations, we also wanted to focus on that national organizations have the power, scope, and velocity drive from a leveraging a common engagement and fundraising platform so that organizations across the United States that are all tied to one common national organization could get together and share tactics, talk about best practices, be able to share and combine data sets for data mining and data warehousing and things like that. So it's a very, very good platform to use if you have a large national organization with different chapters. Certainly if you all thought about an organization that had, say, 200 organizations across the United States and each one wanted to spend $10,000 on a base mobile website with limited functionality, that's going to cost you $2 million at the end of the day and is now yours to own and operate. Versus offering, again, today's technology allows things to be in the cloud and made available so that you don't have to have that expenditure and you're leveraging another service. The value proposition that we focused on when creating Raise Mobile and analyzing today's industry and focusing on technology that would help nonprofits deal with their challenge was give them an immediate capability to establish a presence and use it to connect and raise money from new and existing supporters by leveraging that anywhere, anytime access granted by having a connection to someone's mobile phone. It's a common platform, just as I said, that allows each chapter to quickly and easily get up to speed without overspending on individual solutions. Chances are that you may have chapters that want to go off on their own and do different things, and that increases the risk exposure dramatically for the organization rather than having one set of practices and tactics that are being used. It facilitates the sharing of tactics and success stories to create lift for everybody so that everybody is working off of the same language as far as things that are working. And again, reducing the risk exposure by having standard practices established across the organization and one set of T's and C's versus multiple T's and C's and multiple risks by ensuring the proper use of things like text messages. And then our platform offers the creation of a secure and PCI-compliant vault of credentials that you own. What that means is, in a donation process like ours, we give the ability for the donors to create a unique ID that makes giving as easy as buying a song online. It literally takes only 20 seconds to make the second donation and any donation subsequent to that through their mobile phone. The cost effectivity is something that today's technology delivers easily. We always like to talk about how much did it cost to get 5 gigs of online storage 5 years ago, and today you can get it for free from people like Dropbox. It's the same kind of thing applied when you take today's technology and apply it to the challenges that are facing nonprofits, and that is you can get a cost-effective fundraising tool that supplants everything you do or supplements everything you do but doesn't supplant anything that you do. We've got clients right now that are seeing ROIs in excess of 1,000% a month, and when you combine that kind of capability with the reach of anywhere, anytime access, it becomes a very, very compelling value proposition. There's no upfront investment or software purchase and no long-term contract. So from our viewpoint, when we started out building Raise Mobile, looking at the challenges that are facing nonprofits in the brand new world that we're facing of mobile and social, we thought that these would be very, very important things to add to the platform. So if you ask the question, what technology would you deploy and what is the answer to solving the challenge of needing to be able to reach new and existing supporters through their mobile phones? It's understandable. We all get it. Everybody's got a mobile phone, and it's just increasing in the number of people that are carrying smartphones. And if the challenges are there, what is the answer to meeting the challenges and solving the mobile puzzle? From our perspective, we wanted to make it easy to create a do-it-yourself mobile website in minutes that are easy to navigate and render quickly on your mobile phone. We use the browser. This is not a downloadable application. The browser offers huge scale. Every phone that's shipped today has a mobile browser in it, so you don't have to worry about making sure that your application works here, there, or everywhere. And then, again, if you're relying on your PC site, experts would tell you right now that if 10% of your traffic is coming from a mobile phone, it's probably time that you begin to deploy a mobile experience, because people don't like pinching and swiping and waiting and squinting to try to figure out how to donate. Again, going back to the MCON report on millennial giving, they want to give in the moment, and they want it to be easy to give in the moment, and they will give in the moment if it's easy for them to do that. So we took one of the clients that's on our platform, the Ronald McDonald House here in Kansas City. On the left is their Raise mobile site. On the right is their PC site on a mobile phone. So I'll give you a hint right now. The donate button on the right-hand side is that gold button. The donate button on the Raise mobile site is easy to see, and it's easy to navigate. You can get to the content that you want right away without your first action having to be pinching and swiping to try to find what you're looking for. We're very excited about the way that we've interpreted the path to making a mobile donation. We've taken the best practices across the internet as far as e-commerce and m-commerce go and combined them into a very effective and very, very secure solution for causes to process donations from their supporters anytime, anywhere, when the donor is in the moment. The first two numbers, 1 and 2, are actually the same screen. I choose my amount, and I enter my PIN. At the end of your first donation on our platform, you're given an option to create a unique PIN that's your PIN and tied to your mobile phone. If you do that, we ask you to go ahead and enter that PIN to make your donation. So once you do that, here it's entered as 1234. So we've chosen $15. I've entered my PIN. The next screen that comes up is a confirmation page that confirms who you are. If you need to change any of that, you can obviously edit it. Once you hit the donation page, your donation is complete. This process, I've timed myself doing it many times, takes 20 seconds to do on any wireless network. The last page, number 4, that's presented is a thank you that says thank you to the donor, and they can go back to your main page. But more importantly, at the bottom of that page, you see the Facebook logo and the Twitter logo. After the donation is made, any donor can share their support of your cause on their Facebook page. And by doing so, what goes up on their Facebook page is the comments that they want to make. We don't include the amount that they gave, but we include their comment, obviously, and your logo and your Raise Mobile URL, so that anybody that's following the donor on their Facebook page would now be able to see what the donor has given to. Our platform actually takes social media and integrates it into 3 places, and this is just one of them. The other 3 places is we give you the ability to message out from Raise Mobile to your Facebook and Twitter pages. We also pull in your Facebook and Twitter content into your mobile site when you create it. We think this process that's outlined here is industry class, world standard as far as giving goes, and when you tie in the reach of a mobile phone and the simplicity of this process for a millennial to give in the moment, and it only taking 20 seconds to complete the donation, with 100% of the donation going directly to the cause and a thank you email being generated on your behalf to the donor as a receipt, it's a very, very powerful value proposition. Here's just a few comments about Raise Mobile. I won't read them all. One thing that's embodied in all of these comments is we are very, very passionate about service. The best technology companies today that are operating are very, very passionate about service. We always publish our names and our phone numbers and our email addresses so that we can communicate directly with our clients. We don't have an IVR, so you won't hear a press one to reach support or things like that. We do have that on our inbound calls just so that we can make sure that we get you to the right department, but we also just publish all of our information as well. So this is our brand new world, and it bears repeating that this is the world that we are in right now, and it's only going to expand more so, and that intersection of mobile and social, those two circles start to begin to overlap completely rather than just sort of intersecting the way that they're depicted here. And it's something that I know many nonprofits are challenged by having these conversations with their boards, but it's vital to understand that this is the way that it is. You're going to have more mobile phones interacting with social media. You're going to have more mobile phones interacting than PCs with the internet, and it's never going to change. And it's a brave sort of new situation for everybody to be thinking about what is the best way to engage and process donations. And we like to think that our interpretation of what's needed for the technology to solve these challenges for nonprofits is the right way to go. These are just a few of the causes that are on our platform today. What you see is their Raise Mobile site URL, their QR code that points to their Raise Mobile site, and their keyword and phone number that you can use to opt in to receive messages from them. We follow the industry guidelines as far as text messaging goes. We use the double opt-in process. All messages that are sent from the platform have stop instructions so that there's no worry about using wrong practices and getting in trouble with the use of text messaging. This is all provided in our platform. There are no per message charges, no charges for keywords. We've actually seen some providers charge $200 for a poster with your QR code on it, and we don't do that. It's your QR code, and you can use it wherever you would like. So that's pretty much the end of our presentation, and we'd like to open it up for questions. If we don't get to your question or you'd like a live online demo of our platform, please email me at the email address shown there, and we can go ahead and set that up. We've got plenty of resources, too, for you to take a look at as far as sending you a slide of those current clients so you can see what their sites look like. So if anybody would like that, please email me for that, too. But we'll go ahead and open it up for questions. I've got Lance Locke here with me. He's our director of operations. He's acting as moderator, so he's going to feed me the questions, and I'll do my best to answer them.
Will do, Dale. Thank you. I see the questions are coming in. We're going to try to get to these, each and every one, as best we can. First question I have is from Leanne, and she asks, can you explain what you mean by 3% of people who text to give actually going ahead and giving? Is the mobile carrier just not following through and paying, or is the attrition due to the donor?
It's a great question, Leanne. The attrition is due to the donor, and what happens is if you're using text to give and you're not associated with a large disaster, the carrier wants to get paid for the use of that service. And so we've seen millennial donors say that right next to their $10 charge to feed the kittens was a $10 charge to the carrier. And actually the name that shows up on there is the aggregator. It doesn't say feed the kittens. It says Acme Corporation. And everybody's had experience, at least I've had it multiple times, too many times, of seeing charges on my cell phone bill that I have no earthly idea what they are. And the carriers, having worked at Sprint for a long time, the customer calls in and they say, what is this charge? And it's $20 total. And they'll say, well, it looks like you made a donation. And the carrier will say, if I take this off your bill, will you pay your bill right now? And they want to get you off the phone as soon as possible and get you to pay your bill. So that's what this nonprofit we talked to was seeing, and they're a user of text to give. So out of 100 people that had actually put that charge on their bill, only three of them were actually paying that portion of their bill. And they said that wasn't something that they were really thrilled with, because it actually was losing them money for the cost of the service. So it's a great question, and I wouldn't give up on Text2Give because it's fantastic for disasters like we're seeing right now. But if you're not a disaster and you want to sort of get as much money from your millennial donors or early boomer donors or any donor, really, because what we're seeing is any age group will scan QR codes. We've got some nonprofits using our platform that 50-year-olds and plus are scanning the QR codes. So Text2Give is okay, but I wouldn't recommend it as the product that you integrated into everything that you do today.
Okay, Dale, next question. What is the unsubscribe rate for text messaging, and how does it compare to email unsubscribes?
Text message unsubscribe rate, it really depends on how many messages you're sending out. Certainly the text message unsubscribe rate for Papa John's is pretty high. The text message unsubscribe rate for nonprofits is sort of unknown, because there aren't a lot of nonprofits that are using text message right now as a communication channel. I do know that the causes that I've opted in to receive messages from, I've never left, because they send me messages that tell me about their successes. They send me messages that tell me about their events. They send me messages that tell me about new videos that they've posted. So there's some value to them. And we've always advocated with the customers that are on our platform is to kind of pick a schedule. So you have kind of a schedule if you're using social media, when you go to Facebook, when you go to Twitter, when you put out an email. You can also calendarize what you do with text messaging and say, well, Wednesdays are take our poll Wednesdays, and Fridays are watch our new video Fridays, and really say, well, we're only going to send like two messages a week perhaps, but it's always going to be something that's uplifting and worth sharing rather than just being a nuisance. In Europe, we've seen reports where the nonprofits there have SMS opt-in lists that are in the tens of thousands, because they're using it as a communication vehicle, less so for a donation vehicle, but more so for a communication vehicle, just to share little tidbits about what's going on and always trying to keep top of mind with the donor through the use of text messaging. And again, we've had some customers that were timid with text messaging because they thought that they might be spamming people, but anybody that's opted into your list will have done so through the double opt-in process, so that's twice they've said they want to receive messages from you. And I personally love getting the stories about when meals get packaged and sent to developing countries and things like that. So it's early, but I think as far as efficacy goes, I think text messaging is going to be far superior just based on the ubiquity of text messaging and the open rates.
Okay, next question is from Pete. What payment engine does he recommend, i.e. PayPal, Square, and who else is doing this sort of thing?
The way that we encourage people to set up their account with Raise Mobile is to have a merchant account with a bank so that you can process credit cards. The PayPal experience we found, we get sort of anecdotes back from donors saying, I don't have a PayPal account and I don't want a PayPal account, and I'd like to use my credit card so that I can get frequent flyer points on my credit card. So we always recommend a merchant account, because that supports the best experience that we offer. It's the same kind of thing that we've talked about with as easy as buying a song online or shopping at Amazon, those kinds of really, really robust e-commerce platforms that allow the shopper or the donor to store their credentials. So we recommend merchant account processing. And then there was a second part to the question, too.
Was PayPal or is anybody else doing this sort of platform?
Yeah, we've seen little bits and pieces when we do our competitive review. We do a competitive review every month just to see what's going on in our space. And we've not seen anybody that's gone down the path of credential storage to make giving easy. Typically, what's happened on the mobile side is the service providers will allow you to work with them. They'll create this for you rather than being in your control. They'll create a mobile-optimized donation page, and then they'll ask you to sort of go with that and use that as the way to give. we focused on, that's fine, you know, giving is one aspect of the donor cause relationship, but engagement is way more important to establishing lifetime value of a donor and cultivating somebody that's giving you $20 at a time into the next person that leaves you their estate when they get older.
Okay, on the next question, can you have a PIN of more than four digits, because that essentially limits an organization to 10,000 users?
It's a personal PIN, so it can be whatever the donor wants to use. So we modeled it after the ATM business, actually, because we figured that a four-digit PIN would be just like trying to remember your ATM PIN, or that you had a favorite four-digit string that you like to use. So it's unlimited in storage, so you're not limited to 10,000 donors.
Next question is from Jeff. It seems that a lot of donors don't give through mobile because they don't know they can. What strategies do your clients use to drive traffic to mobile giving pages?
We've got some clients right now that are seeing tremendous success. Some of them have mobile sites that are outpacing their PC sites by 2-to-1 in fundraising. And what they're using is QR codes in a workplace giving setting. So they establish a partnership with a local business. The local business puts the QR codes around for customers, employees. They fundraise for that cause during the month, and they're seeing tremendous success. So the QR codes scanned by people of all ages is something that we're seeing tremendous success in. The other thing that people are doing is incorporating their mobile presence into email. As you likely know, Jeff, most email today is open on a mobile phone and consumed there. And there's been some reports that we've seen around the efficacy of email giving or email appeals going down. And the reason being probably is because the email appeal then points to a PC site and somebody just opened that email on their mobile phone. So incorporating a visit our mobile site, you know, click here hyperlink using your Raise Mobile site URL in your email is very, very important. Same thing again with Twitter and Facebook, incorporating your Raise Mobile URL into your appeals through those platforms. Because again, people are consuming that content predominantly and sometimes exclusively through their mobile phone, so giving them the ability to do that there. I've actually stood up in front of audiences and said, take out your phone, text a keyword to this phone number right now to learn more about this cause and make a donation if you feel like it's something you want to do. And I was in front of a group of about 100 people. 20 people did that, and some of them made donations right there on the spot. So we talked about this earlier in the presentation. The addition of mobile can seamlessly integrate into everything you do, and plus there's some new things that you can do around sort of team competitions in giving, and a feature we're rolling out later this summer that's going to allow you to invite individual supporters to have their own mobile page and bring in supporters or bring in donors through their networks of email and social networks and things like that. So, you know, the QR code, it gets a lot of unlove in the marketplace, but when used appropriately and it's an experience that renders quickly and is easy to navigate on somebody's phone, we're seeing tremendous success with that one in a workplace giving setting. But really, you know, in today's world, everybody likes to have multiple options presented to them around engagement, and certainly we focused on that in the creation of our platform.
Next question, and I apologize, I hope I have this name correct. It is Noel, and Noel asks, where and how fast can you receive feedback on how much was donated in a period of time?
All of our feedback is real time. There's no waiting for the donation to process. Once somebody makes a donation, 100% of it goes to you right away, as soon as it clears the donor's credit card or PayPal account. We've had clients where we've said, so go into your account for the big event tonight, and show them the dashboard. So we have a dashboard that updates donations processed in real time, and show the dashboard and tell them that you won't turn the Barry Manilow music off until the donation amount goes over a certain amount. And as long as you've got the Manilow turned up loud enough, I'm sure you're going to be able to get a lot of donations. everything that we do from a reporting standpoint, we've got a very, very robust reporting mechanism. The dashboard, the money into your bank account is all real time and immediate.
We have quite a few folks asking a very important question. How much is it?
Our platform costs us $29 a month, and we have no contract. Our donation processing fee to process donations into your merchant account or PayPal account, we're revising it, and we're in the process of revising it. And by July 1st, that rate will be 3.9% across the board. Right now it says 5.9% on the first 1,000. We just thought it would be way simpler just to go with one low rate. And so as you think about the average cost of a dollar that we presented here of being 20 cents, 3.9% to process your donation is definitely bending the cost curve down. And then when you combine that with the capability of achieving a realistic ongoing ROI in excess of 1,000%, that becomes a very, very cost-effective and powerful combination.
All right, next question I have from KS, and KS asks, how does this work in conjunction with established events such as the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life?
There's a lot of things that you can do in settings like that where you've got teams working to compete. We've had some clients say that they were going to use unique QR codes assigned to individual teams and have those individual teams fundraise prior to the event, at the event, and after the event, and then hand out some sort of prize to the winning team on who raised the most amount of money. So that's been the one that we've really looked at, and we've got an enhancement on that capability coming later this summer where you as a cause using our platform would be able to invite supporters to come in and fundraise. They'll be able to track their results, and you'll be able to see their results, and then you can hand out prizes to the top fundraisers. We also advocate at live events. That's a great opportunity to get people to opt into your text message group. Typically, when people are at events like that, the only thing that's with them, hopefully they've got their wallet with them, but if they don't have their wallet, then surely they've got their cell phone, and the way to establish a connection with them is really to ask them to say, hey, you know, we're thankful that you're here. We'd really like to stay connected to you. If you opt into our text message group by texting the keyword, so you would have chosen a keyword when you set your Raise Mobile account up, text this keyword to this phone number, and we'll share success stories, news events, polls, videos. The other one that we've got that's not necessarily tied to this, but a lot of those kinds of events have sponsors. You could easily have a sponsor of the event come in and also sponsor your Raise Mobile site, which could easily cover the cost of the use of Raise Mobile for that month or for an extended period of time. And so you'd have a dedicated page on your Raise Mobile site for that sponsor so that the sponsor could say to their employees at the event and their audience, hey, we support this cause. We think you should too. We're a sponsor on their site and here at the event. So there's a great deal that can be done at live events like that to catch people when they're in the moment and make it easy for them to give and easy for them to become connected to you so that you can cultivate them as a high lifetime value donor.
Next question. Is it possible for me or us to pull out my cell phone and text a keyword to a short code to see how this works?
I forget what the keyword is, but I'll go back. Well,
it's on slide 23 of the presentation. We have some.
I'll go back to slide 23. You can see there on the right-hand side, if you wanted to text any of those words to those phone numbers, you'd be able to see any of those sites on your phone. So what happens is you'll get a first message that says, thank you for joining our text message group. Click the link to confirm. Yeah, we don't – the question was about short codes, and we actually use long codes. Short codes are controlled by the carriers. And excuse me, having come from Sprint, I don't like – using things that are controlled by the carriers because they tend to be kind of erratic in the way that they build their marketplaces. So these long codes are just typical phone numbers, and anybody can text that word to a phone number, because that's what you do when you text a friend before you put their name in your phone book. So you can text any of those to those phone numbers there to see. And then, again, if you don't do that and you want me to send you the slide, then I can send you the same slide later.
Kind of staying in that same vein, Dale, Faizan, and I apologize if I have not got your name correct, asked, how can you engage people through text messaging if text-to-give conversion is 3%? You're suggesting, how should we engage our donors in that capacity?
We like to think of text messaging on our platform is more about just communicating with them like you would through email. So there's a cause that I have opted into. It's listed there on the slide that we're showing. It's Stop Hunger. So I texted Stop Hunger to that phone number. Every time they send a container of meals someplace around the world to help the people in need, they send me a text message. And sometimes those text messages have their Raise Mobile site URL in them, and sometimes they don't. So the text messaging for us is not just about always, you know, giving. Millennials today want to know what their money is doing, and they want to be able to see what's going on an ongoing basis. So, again, text to give is fine if it's just all about giving, but we think there's a bigger role for text messaging beyond just asking somebody for money. We think it's a great way to share success stories and to share what's going on at your cause so they can always kind of remember what you're up to, so that the next time that you do give, they don't have to think about, well, what are they doing and what are they up to? Chances are they've just seen a message about what you're up to and consumed a piece of content, watched a video on your phone, or checked on an upcoming event in your event calendar. So those kinds of things.
One second. Guys, thoroughly appreciate questions. We have a lot coming in, so bear with me here. Beth asks, and again, kind of sticking with text messaging, are the open rates for text messages similarly affected by carriers like emails?
No, it shouldn't. The carriers should really be letting these messages go through because they just look like they are from phone to phone. So it comes from our platform through the phone number that's listed for the cause, and you can establish bidirectional messaging between a supporter and the cause through our platform, but that's something that's not really impacted by the carrier. I will say again that the short codes that are handed out by the carriers and the aggregators are controlled by them. We ran into a cause here in Kansas City that actually had their short code removed, and they had just spent a great deal of money placing it on any number of places that they thought it would reach a supporter. And so all of those short codes that are out there are ineffective now, and they're now using our platform. And as long as they're a Raise Mobile client, there's never any chance that phone number is going to be taken from them or their keyword.
Sean asks, and Dale, my apologies, hopefully this isn't a redundant question. Can your system work if the donor is purchasing a ticket to a charity event and not just providing a cash donation?
We've actually got one cause that's using the platform right now, and one of the features of our site is the ability to create a unique donation page. And because all of the donation amounts on this page can have a descriptor put in, they've assigned each donation amount a number of tickets. So one ticket is the descriptor on the page, and it's $50, and two tickets is $100, and three tickets, so on. And then our reporting system on the back end tracks that as coming from their ticket page, and they see the dollar amounts so that they know, John Smith has purchased one ticket, Sally Jones has purchased two tickets, and that's the way they track it. And then because our platform supplies the email address of the person that gave, anybody at the cause on staff can reach back to the ticket purchaser and say, thank you for your purchase of your tickets. And, this email that I'm sending you now is your ticket. So, yeah, it's very easy to do. And we've really kind of created a really robust palette, if you will, of things that you can do with your Raise mobile site with just a little ingenuity. And then, you know, we always focus again on the service. If there's something that you wanted to do with your Raise mobile account and you needed help, reach out to us. We love helping nonprofits.
Next question is from Rob, and he asks, how do you redirect people from your regular site to the mobile Raise page?
There's code out there that your PC site hoster should have access to that will allow for browser detection. So if you say PC browsers need to go to my PC site, mobile browsers need to go to my Raise mobile site, and you provide them with that URL, then they should be able to accomplish that for you. It's very, very simple technology. Everybody's doing it, obviously. If you try to go to ESPN.com on your phone, it will do a redirect. We've got a couple of clients that have worked with their developers to deploy that. So when you try to go to their PC site on your mobile phone, you see the redirect happening, and then they take you to your mobile site. And then one other thing that we build into your mobile site is a link back to your PC site. So with your mobile site, you get views of everything. So you get a great mobile experience. And then there's also, if somebody wants to go back and look at your PC site for something on their mobile phone, there's a link back to your PC site too. So we link it from both directions, and your developer should be able to help you with those browser detections on mobile phones.
Thanks, Dale. Next question is from Heather, and she asks, you mentioned it is $29 a month for an organization to have a Raise mobile platform. Are there additional costs to have unique pages for individual fundraisers or events?
No, it's included in the platform fee. It's just you can create as many as you want. We've had some customers create almost three dozen individual pages for some of the workplace giving that they've done. And this project that we're working on and hope to have rolled out in July is for a faith-based school here in Kansas City, and they would like to invite 150 to 200 people to fundraise for kids' education. So 150 to 200 people having their own fundraising pages all tied into your merchant account, so when the money is or PayPal account, when the money is processed, it goes directly to you, but it's shown up as coming from them as the source. That's something that we've got on the platform now, and we're making it even better here this summer.
Another question, and this one may have been addressed before, but I see somebody would like a better answer to this. It's wanted to find out why there is a need for a PIN number.
We needed to have a unique identifier for the tokenized credentials if somebody wanted to do that. And, again, it's an optional aspect of giving. We wanted to make it easy for repeat donations. We've always told our customers the most important donation isn't the first donation, it's the second donation. And we just make it so that if somebody doesn't want to have to fill the form out because they know that they're going to give to you again and again and again, then just make it easy for them to say yes, tokenize my credentials, secure them storely. The industry term is PCI DSS level 1 compliance. So it's the highest level of credit card security you can establish, and the PIN just helps us retrieve your credentials.
And I know this is a question that a lot of nonprofits don't have the answers to, but Susan asks, is there an additional charge to set up a merchant account?
Yeah, there is some fees. We've got a partner here in Kansas City that we've worked with. I can't say off the top of my head what those fees are, but it's not very expensive at all, and there are some fees associated with it, but there's been many times when we've talked to donors that say, hey, I like to give through my credit card because I get the benefit of the tax deduction, plus I get the accrual of my frequent flyer bonus points, so I use my credit card to give. So they like it, and it's something where we've talked to donors, and they go, I don't have a checkbook. You know, I never will have a checkbook. I do everything online. And I can even include myself in this group. I know my American Express card by heart because I've done so much with it online, so I don't even need to carry it with me anymore to use that. So Yeah, there are fees. There are some great rates out there for nonprofits. And if you'd like any help with that, please let me know. Send me an email, and I'd love to show you the rate card that we were given by this provider here in Kansas City. We think it's pretty competitive.
Dale, I know we're close to running out of time, but I think we got time for a few more. Paul asks, how would you use this application in a new donor acquisition program?
I would look at what you're doing in your other channels as far as acquiring new donors. So, you know, hopefully you've set up a Facebook page. Hopefully you're you know, using Twitter, at least one of the social media. You may be out buying mailing lists to use direct mail. We don't advocate the wholesale removal of direct mail, but certainly you can increase the efficacy of direct mail if you make giving through direct mail easier because, again, there's a growing number of people in the population that don't have checkbooks. I would just add mobile to everything that you do. I would say also if you're getting off the ground, we've got responsive design, which means your Raise Mobile site operates out of one content management system and looks great on a mobile phone, it looks great on a tablet, and it looks great on a PC, and all of the experiences translate from one device to the other. So if I gave to you through my mobile phone today and created a PIN, and tomorrow you ask me and I'm on my tablet, I can use the same PIN to give through my tablet and get the same content on all three screens. So I actually wouldn't go get a regular website. I just use one content management system and call it done and get a merchant account and you're ready to go.
All right. Pam asks a very good question. You said that 100% of donation goes to the nonprofits. That's not true if you charge 3.9%.
Yeah, we charge our 3.9% in arrears. So the donation clears to you, and then we do ACH e-check at the beginning of the next month. So at the end of the month, we keep a running tally of the donations processed, and then we bill your checking account. We like to stay with the sort of reduced carbon footprint green initiative by not sending out paper bills. And, you know, we didn't think it would be a good thing to be saying, you know, the world's lessening its reliance on mail, and then here's your paper bill. So, yeah, the money clears directly into your account, and then we bill at the end of the month.
And, Dale, again, I apologize. This may be on me. You were talking about text messaging. Do you charge an additional fee to send text messages, i.e., is there a per-text fee to send out a message?
No. In a word, no. You can send as many messages as you want, but, again, you're going to have to kind of watch it because the other question earlier about people opting out, if it's every little thing that you want to tell somebody, they're going to opt out. But if it's scheduled and sort of coordinated with other things that you're doing and the messages are of value, then they're going to be seen as good messages. And, no, we don't charge on a per-message basis. We don't charge for keywords. You pick your keyword when you set your account up, and you choose your phone number from a pool of numbers in your area code, and you're good to go.
I'm going to just answer a question. I see a few people also asking, is there a setup fee? There is not a setup fee.
No, there's no setup fee.
Correct.
This is the beauty of operating with today's technology and trying to solve the challenges that I think everybody acknowledges, and that is the world is going mobile and social at a highly rapid rate. There's a statistic out there that says that the mobile internet is growing at 8 times the rate of the PC internet. That's in megabytes consumed through mobile phones. ESPN would tell you that half their traffic comes from mobile phones today. So when you take today's technology and you apply it to this challenge and you say the future is mobile and social, what we've been able to do is, again, leverage best industry tools and practices and say here's a solution. So I've been told that we've reached the end of our time. I am so honored to be speaking to all of you and offering our assistance. I've been quoted as saying that Raise Mobile is a mission wrapped in a business veneer, and we truly mean that. We are here to help nonprofits go mobile. So I'm going to pass it back to Peggy and say thanks and wish everybody a great day.
And really, so many great questions. If you did not get your question answered, Dale, do you want to just repeat your email address one more time?
Yeah, it's Dale, D-A-L-E, at RaiseMobile.com.
So feel free to there you go, feel free to send him an email. But great questions and really a great learning experience for me as well. So thank you, Dale and Lance, for your assistance. So on behalf of Raise Mobile and Fundraising Success, I really want to thank all of you for attending today's webinar. Please be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and our upcoming webinars. And if you could just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we really would be grateful. Your feedback does influence the webinars we bring you in the future. So if you could just take a moment to do that, that would be great. And we hope to see you at the next Fundraising Success sponsored webinar. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Bye for now.